Blog Talk Radio.
Together, O nation, I desire. Before the decree, go forth and y'all bring in his fire. Seek Yahweh, seek meekness. Walk in humility, not weakness. Y'all teaching this is way to be higher. Learning truth, no more subject to the liars. Submit to Yah, the only way he'll unite us. Yah's way is holy, true judgment, and be righteous. We can't front on Yah, not even in the slightest. Sons will be loud, be faking like they like us. But Yah gave us all to our heart's desires. He'll cut you off from spreading hate like a virus. So turn to Yah, he is torn as he will bind us. He is smited and he will heal us. After 2 days, yeah, he will revive us. In the third day, in his sight, we will rise up. Let's go.
Gather your saints together. Bring them all together. Those that made a covenant to sacrifice. God is life. Gather your saints together. Bring them all together. Those that made a covenant to sacrifice. God is life.
Gather together, O nation, I desire. Before the decree, go forth and y'all bring in his fire. Seek Yahweh, seek meekness, do with judgment, walk in righteousness. Learn Yah's path, he will lighten it. While we fighting this, we the same blood, have the same Ema and the same Abba. We all a slave, live the same drama. My people, we be true brethren. 400 years, have we learned our lesson? How good and pleasant if we dwell together. Yeah, two is better, three is hardly broken, and millions live forever. The enemy wanna cut us off to be a nation, never. But the shackles are severed. Soon we'll be one nation with one king, one law, all serving one Elohim.
Gather your saints together.
Gather, gather,
gather. Bring them all together.
Together, let's gather together, let's go. Gather together, O nation, not desire. Gather together, let's gather together, come on. Gather together, O nation, not desire. Gather together, let's gather together, let's go.
Gather your saints together. Bring them all together. Those that made a covenant to sacrifice. God is life. Gather your saints together.
Phony people studying fakeology. God seed, I'm a god, it's not ego. Psalms 82, verse 6. Even JC know who be me. Lion face, crew be deep. Soldiers for Yah, screw these streets in front like the heat go. That's how I leak, waiting on the master. In the meantime, studying for my master. Building houses, growing college, sharpening my sword, and I'm cutting up scholars. Raising my son, searching for the wife. Yah, I pray he find a virtuous one. Stand for justice, relieve the oppressed. Call on Yah, deliver the fatherless, let Israel be blessed.
Keeping my eyes on you.
flame. Feed my brethren wisdom, y'all willing, he will do the same. Shame and calamity on my family, trapped in captivity many years ago, holding the calico. Never know how my light glowed till I stepped through them two doors. Left church, cause that was just fool's gold. My eyes the color of onyx, y'all's message came to me as clear as you telephonically alerting me. He opened his scrolls and fed his word to me. Now I'ma give to those hope lost whose spirit is froze the knowledge of how they conquer their foes. Enemies be hatred itself, something dangerous like this crack is wealth. Let's leave Babylon and let Yah be our help.
Keeping my eyes on Yah, I won't let up. I'm strong and bold, I won't give up. When I fall in Canaan,
giving all praise and honor to the Holy One of Israel, to the creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein, is by saying hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous. Yah is holy. And let Yahweh be magnified. Praise the mighty Yah for another day, another week that he has allowed us to come before him once again to bring you nothing but the truth. And yes, it is true that we're going to tell you the truth, for Yah ordained me to tell you the truth. So this is what I'm going to do. But before I do that, my name is Moray Ishaya Israel of the House of Israel, located right here at 1907 Vine Street, Cincinnati, Ohio. And it's my honor and pleasure to come before you once again, bringing you nothing but the truth. Now, but who is this Yah speaking about that even allowed us to come before you and to dare put all his words in our mouth to speak to you? Well, this Yah is the creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is. This Yah is the Elohim of our fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yisrael. And this Yah is our king. He's our lawgiver. He's our savior, not just of Israel, but of the world. And so today we're going to bring to you the word of Yah. And we're going to start our discussions in the book of Isaiah 34 and 16, so you can see exactly what we're going to be speaking about this week and why this is so very, very important. In the book of Isaiah 34 and 16, this is what it says. Seek ye out a book of Yah and read. Not one of these shall fail. None shall want her mate. For my mouth it hath commanded, and his spirit it hath gathered them. And what is the Creator talking about? Well, he's talking about the very thing he started off talking about. Seeking ye out of the book of Yah and read. And yes, the Most High wants you to seek him out of his book. And oftentimes people will get other books and grab onto these other books. And this is where our people begin to learn very bad customs that have nothing to do with our people. And these come from one or two things, either books that's not gathered by the Spirit of the Most High. And then the second thing you get is people who would dare teach the Creator's word but had not been sent by him. Because once you're sent by him, then all the various words you speak in his name, you're going to be able to establish it, which means prove it. And this is what we're going to do. But in seeking the Most High out of his book, there's various things that you have to know to learn from his book. And we're going to go over those things today. For instance, we brought to you Yah 7 requirements. And we talked about each particular requirement. You read about the Yah 7 requirements in the book of Deuteronomy, the 10th chapter, the 12th verse. And this is the law. And we broke down each particular thing and what the Creator will have us to do. And let me just read that to you. It says, "And now, Yisrael, what do Yah thy Elohim require of thee?" And these are the seven things. Number one, to fear Yah thy Elohim. Two, to walk in all his ways. Three, to love him. Four, to serve Yah thy Elohim with all thy heart. Number five, and with all thy soul. Number six, to keep the commandments of Yah. And number seven, and the statutes which I command thee this day for thy good. And we went over all seven. Furthermore, we also brought to your attention not just the seven requirements of Yah, but also the seven everlasting covenants. And we broke down each particular one. We also brought to your attention each thing that Yah would do in the very first 7 days of creation. And we talked about what these things mean, what Yah ushered in each particular day. For instance, on the first day, he said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And we wanted you to know, well, what did he usher in when he ushered in this light? Since Yah said he made everything in 6 days, then surely other things had to be done other than just the making of light on the first day. And what are those things? And we brought to you those things, and we're going to go over that as well. And this is what you're going to find in the word of Yah. Everything in the Creator's word has perfect and pure order. And what we're teaching is the perfect and pure order of Yah. Because once you have order, then you can begin to align yourself with the Most High. And when we learn out of order, then that's what we're going to have, some out of order things. But to have order, you got to number things. You got to put things in an outline. And the Almighty outlined things so we'll know exactly how to order ourselves when it comes to his word. So this is why one of the psalmists said this in the book of Psalms 90, if you turn there. Psalm 90, then you can understand what I mean. Psalm 90, because what are we talking about tonight, today? We're discussing seeking ye out of the book and Yah and read. And it says no one of these shall fail. What? Not one of these books. Because there's several books in the book of Yah. It's not just one book. It's several books. Then it said none shall want her mate. In other words, there is no mate to the various books that the Almighty gave us. And the reason why there's no mate, and the reason why you should be seeking the Most High out of his book, is because his mouth had commanded and his spirit is the one that gathered these books. And I know you think maybe King James is the one that gathered these books and took some books out, threw them away, and said, well, these books are irrelevant, or these books don't coincide with what we want people to know and learn. And so now they got some books called the lost books. Now, these books ain't too lost because you can go buy these books in the stores and put them in your house and read them and study them. And we have these books, so they're not too lost, because really they ain't never been lost. They called them the lost books of the Bible because that's just a marketing ploy to get you to buy something that they can charge more money for, because it's supposed to be lost. But there's nothing lost here. Watch what it says in the book of Psalm 90. In the book of Psalm 90, and we're just going to read 1 through 12. And we're going to emphasize the 12th verse, though. But watch what it says. Yah has been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art Elohim. Thou turnest man to destruction, and says, return ye children of men. For 1,000 years is in thy sight are but a yesterday when it is past. And as he watched in the night, thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as a sleep. In the morning, they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning, it flourish and groweth up. In the evening, it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thy anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance, for all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thy anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And so this is what the bottom line is. If you want your hearts to be applied unto wisdom, you have to learn how to number your days. Because once you begin to learn how to number your days, then the more wisdom your heart will receive. This is how you apply your heart to wisdom. Your whole heart, your whole mind will begin to open up, because now you will have purpose and meaning. The further show you're going to have purpose and meaning, look at the book of Ecclesiastes. the third chapter. So if you're interested in applying your heart to wisdom, you have to learn how to number your days. And this should make great sense to you because of what we're about to read. And watch what it says. In the book of Ecclesiastes, the third chapter, the very first verse. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. And what is that saying? Well, that's saying if there's something that's purpose under heaven, there's a time that's attached to it. And if there's a time under heaven, then you can rest assured it is purpose behind it. And the first thing it tells you is a time to be born. Once you are born, and I don't care what it is, once you are born, you're born at a certain time, and that time has purpose. We have people today, they kill themselves because they don't have a sense of purpose. But they don't realize is purpose is already built to the time that they were born. That's why they was born at that time, because it had a particular purpose. And this is one of the things that I tried to demonstrate and show and prove, which I did, beyond a shadow of a doubt with the 12 tribes of Israel. And I'll show you another example of that. Well, let me just show you an example right now. In the book of Genesis, the 29th chapter, show you that to every, there's a time to every purpose under the heaven. And you give show me the time, chances are I can tell you what the purpose was. In the book of Genesis 29, even when you die, it's purposed. There's a reason why you died. And you get the dates and times that you died. It was purpose. It has meaning. It has value. Because every time has value. And the value of every time is the time that it happens. All you have to do is learn the time. And once you learn that, then you will learn everything else. In the book of Genesis 29, and this is just an example, but we can go through the whole 12 tribes, and we will one day. It says in the 34th, first verse, Genesis 29:31. It says, and when Yah saw Leah, and saw Leah was hated, he opened up her womb, but Rachel was barren. And Leah conceived and bare a son, and she called his name Reuben. For she said, surely Yah have looked upon my affliction. Now, therefore, my husband will love me. And that's what Reuven means, that Yah looked upon my affliction. That's what it means. And because, and of course, Reuven is the firstborn, and he was first, and the only reason she talked to him, just imagine, she said, Yah looked on my affliction. In other words, she had to see that Yah seen her. She recognized and she acknowledged. That's when you acknowledge something. You acknowledge that, oh my goodness, y'all seen that. Because he showed you something that he knew what you were going through. That's why on the first day it said, let there be light, and there was light. And y'all saw the light that it was good. Because what? Because y'all wanted you to be able to see. And why? Because he see you. And if he see you, he wants you to see him. Number two, Unfortunately, we know he see us, but for some strange reason, we don't think he see. No, we act like we don't see him, but he see us. And the only reason we act like he don't see us is because the very things that we do. 33rd verse. And she conceived again. This is number two. And bare a son and said, because y'all have heard that I was hated. First, he seen it. Now he heard that I was hated. He had therefore given me this son also. And she called his name Simeon. And this, and the Hebrew word for Simeon come from the same Hebrew word that we say every week. And that's Shema, which means what? Hear. Yeah, to hear. Shema Yisrael. Because why is Yah keep all over and over again say Shema Yisrael, Shema Yisrael? Because he want us to hear. See, if we just sing, it wouldn't be enough. He want us to see, and he also want us to hear. Which is number two. And where will he hear from? He was here from heaven. That's why it's number two. Because the Almighty made the heavens on the second day. The third thing that happened to Leah, 34th verse, and she conceived again, bare a son, and said, now this time will my husband be joined unto me, because I have borne him three sons. Therefore was his name called Levi. And who's supposed to join you to Yah if it's not the priest? And that's who the Levites are. They the ones who join. Who you think married our people? The Levites. I know our people think they got married in the bedroom, and they went in the bedroom just them two, nobody around, and they come out married. No. Somebody had to perform the covenant. Somebody has to be a witness. You don't have nobody in the bedroom looking at you. Might have had somebody in there, but we can't count on them. We need to, our marriages took place with an audience, with witnesses. And Yah witnessed for Adam and Eve. And he was the one who joined them together. And then he put his priests on earth to join man and woman together. But not only man and woman, but Yah put the priests on the earth to join them to him. Who do you think is supposed to teach us the laws, commandments, statutes, and judgment? It's the priests. And this is how you get joined to Yah. And Levi was born three. And why? Because he is Yah's messenger on earth. He is Yah's representative that joined the people unto him. This is why, this is what his name means. And then the fourth child in the 35th verse. And she conceived again and bare a son. And she said, now will I praise Yah. Therefore she called his name Yehuda and left barren. And of course, it wasn't that Yehuda was just so special. He just happened to be born at the right time. And he was born at the time that Yah wanted his praise. And when do Yah want his praise? At the fourth. Why you think Yehuda was the fourth son? Why you think in the fourth year it says, bring the fruit to praise Yah with all? Why you think they built the temple in the fourth year to praise him? Why you think the fourth commandment was the Sabbath day? Because we praise him every Sabbath. Because this is what the fourth represents. Because why? There's a time to every purpose under heaven. And once you know the time, you will know the purpose. And this is why our people today don't know time and purpose, because they don't know the time and they don't know the purpose. And then when they know the time, the purpose escapes them because they hadn't been taught proper time. And this is why the Creator said, learn not the ways of the heathens. Furthermore, on the praise, the Almighty made the sun, moon, and stars on the fourth day. And this is what he said about it. He said in the book of Psalm, let's go to it and read it. In the book of Psalm, Psalm 113, this is what it says. In Psalm 113, starting at the very first verse, it says, praise ye Yah, praise O ye servants of Yah, praise the name of Yah. See, this psalm is all about praising him. But because there's time and purpose to everything, he wants you to know when to praise him. Blessed be the name of Yah from this time forth and forevermore. And watch what it says in the third verse. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, Yah's name is to be what? It's to be praised. And when? Well, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. That's when his name to be praised. And why? Because when do you think the sun was made? It was made on the fourth day. And once we begin to learn what the day was made for, what the night was made for, then we'll know time and purpose. And this was so beautiful to me. The Almighty showed us something in the book of Malachi. Turn there. Because right now we're telling you, seek ye out of the book of Yah and read. No one of these shall fail. None shall want her mate. For my mouth it hath commanded, and his spirit has gathered them. Talking about the various books of Yah. So we don't have to run various different places. All we have to do is trust in the Most High and learn his word. In the book of Malachi, the fourth chapter, and watch this. Now, this is what the Creator said he was going to do in the last days. This is what he's going to do to destroy the wicked. And watch what it says. Or this is one of the ways he said he was going to destroy the wicked. In Malachi, the fourth chapter, the very first verse, for behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up. In other words, the day going to be so hot that you're going to see people just burning up. And you're going to wonder why, because you out there too. But it's not for the righteous. It's just for the wicked. Said Yah, folks, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. In other words, all there'll be is a bunch of ashes. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness, not the S-O-N, the S-U-N, the Son of Righteousness, arrived with healing in his wings, the same sun that's burning people up because the day is so hot, is the same sun that will heal the righteous. And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall, and ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your foot. In the day that I shall do this, says Yah of hosts. So that day is coming. No wonder Yah said from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. Because this sun is a healer for some, but it's a cold-blooded killer for others. And the last scripture on this, and we're going to get right into our presentation, is in the book, going back to Psalms 90, But the Creator said, teach us to number our days. This is why we got to number our days. And how do we number our days? We number our days at the time that the Almighty made the lights. And watch this in the song, in the book of Psalms. It's Psalms 97. And that song's 97. And we're going to start reading at the 10th verse. It says in Psalms 97:10, ye that love Yah, hate evil. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivered them out of the hand of the wicked. Light is sown for the righteous, and gladness for the upright in heart. Rejoice in Yah, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. So our people have and must be about the light. And so the scriptures say, teach us to number our days that we may apply hearts unto wisdom. Because this is where we're going to learn the wisdom of Yah, through numbering our days. And we let everybody know when the Almighty ushered in the light the first day, we knew what he ushered in. He ushered in the word of Yah. His whole word came through this. And I'll show you that. Show you what the light represents. Well, no, let me just show you right now so I can get right to this. Because I want you to see something. Because this, what I want you to see is why it's so vitally important that you know this. Today, or the scriptures say, train up a child in the way it should go. And when they are old, they shall not depart thereof. And see, the reason why we have a lot of children departing is because we're not training them in the way that they should go. We're training them in the way that they shouldn't go. Because if we train them in the way that they should go, it's going to be well with them. So we all have to be retrained. And the way we are retrained is we got to, everything got to be put back in order. The Almighty called that restored. We got to restore everything. Because a lot of things have been defiled and polluted. And so now everything has to be restored. So in the book of, just to show you this, just one or two scriptures on this. One is in the book of Proverbs. Speaking about the Creator's word. Because everything that I show you, I'm going to prove. In the book of Proverbs. The 6th chapter. When the Almighty ushered in the light, this is what he was ushering in. And you can write this down and take it to the bank. The 23rd verse, this is what it says. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light. No wonder he sown the light for righteousness. He sown light unto the righteous because the law is the light, and reproofs of instructions are the way of life. And this is what the Almighty did on day one. That light meant more than just some light. So you can see It did. It was there for you to see. But he wanted you to see more than what was in front of you. He wanted you to see things that other people couldn't see. And that was his laws, because his laws help you to see things that most can't see. And when you have the creative laws, you can have your eyes closed and still see. It's called vision. And the scripture said, where there is no vision, the people perish. But happy is he that keep the what? The law. Because vision and the law go hand in hand. Light and the law go hand in hand. No wonder the Creator said in the book of Isaiah, the 8th chapter, turn there for me. Isaiah 8. Everything has to be put back in order. And let me tell you, it's only 7 different orders. This is what you're going to learn. Because after 7, I don't care if it's 12, I don't care if it's 15, I don't care if it's 1,000. Everything else is just a repeat of the first 7. You only got 7 originals. After that, it's just a repeat. And I'm going to show you that. In the book of Isaiah, the 8th chapter, this is what it says in the 20th verse. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. That's how you know when the Almighty said, let there be light. And there was light. He was giving the earth exactly what the earth needs, even before the earth was, giving it what it needed to be able to exist and be functional and to be whole, because he gave his law. He gave his commandment. And he said it was so. Then the Creator lets us know when he ushered in day 2. When he made the heavens, he just didn't put some firmament and split the firmament, and then this firmament is called heaven, and it's just heaven, and there's something that's below you and above you and on your right hand. No. When he made the heaven, on the 2nd day, he was bringing in and ushering in his name, because the heaven is his throne, and that represents his name. Just like David's throne, all through the scriptures, is called the throne of David. Well, the heavens is called the throne of Yah. It represents his name. He said, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. It represents his name. So it's not surprising that when the Almighty allowed King Solomon to build the temple, guess when it was done? In the 2nd month. Matter of fact, let me show you this. In the book of 1 Chronicles, turn there in 1 Chronicles, or it's 2 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, the 3rd chapter, just so you can see that I'm telling you the truth. Because after I just do this review, you're going to see that I don't care what we're talking about. Somebody asked me a question, well, how many generations is it? Well, it's only 7 generations. And all the rest of the generations are just a repeat of the 7. And I'm going to show you that. In the book of 2 Chronicles, the 3rd chapter, watch what it says at the very first verse. We're going to read verse 1 and 2. Then Solomon began to build the house of Yah at Jerusalem in Mount Moriah, where Yah appeared unto David his father, in the place that David had prepared in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. And he began to build in the 2nd day of the second month in the fourth year of his reign. Now, why the second day and why the second month? Because this place that was being built was built to his name. You might say, well, why was it done in the fourth year? Because this place that was built to his name was built for his praise. And as a matter of fact, the place that it was built was in the land of Yehuda, which is the fourth tribe, which is his praise. Every time, all the times, has purpose under heaven. And once you know the time, you'll know the purpose. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And this is what we're learning. Furthermore, just on his name, going back to the book of Genesis, Genesis, the fourth chapter, Genesis 4. And I'm going to read the 25th and the 26th verse. In the book of Genesis 4, 25 and 26, it says, and Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth. For Elohim, said she, have appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of Yah. And why then? Because Enos was the second generation after Adam. You hear Seth, then you hear Enos. And what do the second represent? Well, represent his name. Because these are the times and the purpose under heaven that Yah himself gave. And oftentimes we're looking for our purpose instead of looking for his purpose. And when we look for his purpose, we find his purpose in the time. And so we apply our hearts unto that, the time, then we're going to learn purpose. And so all over the scriptures, you'll have this. So this is why it's not strange when we read certain things, such as in a book of Exodus, the 23rd chapter, because we're going to be going into great detail about these things. But right now, I'm giving you a heads up of what we're going to be dealing with, because at the end, you're going to see that Yah himself have a calendar that all of us, not only should we follow him, but if we apply our hearts unto the wisdom that he's showing us, we're going to see more than what we were seeing before. There's so many wondrous things that you'll see. It's unbelievable. But certain things we got to know first, because everything has to be restored. Watch what it says in Exodus 23, just to show you what I'm saying. In the book of Exodus 23, and watch this. And I'm going to start reading at the 10th verse. And it says, in 6 years thou shalt sow thy land, and shall gather in the fruits thereof. But the seventh year thou shalt let it rest and lie still, that the poor of thy people may eat, and what they leave, the beasts of the field shall eat. In like manner, thou shalt deal with thy vineyard and with thy olive yard. So in other words, little do people know, it's only seven different years. Everything after the seventh year is just a repeat. And I'm going to show you that. All it is a repeat, because it's only seven. Watch what it says the next verse. 6 days thou shalt do thy work, and on the seventh day thou shalt rest, that thy ox and thy ass may rest, and the son of thy handmaid and the stranger may be refreshed. Now, people able to understand that it's only seven different days, and then they repeat, because they can see on the calendars, they can see what the heathen got on the calendars, that every day repeat, and then they keep the Sabbath day, and then every day repeat, and they keep the Sabbath day. But little do they know, that's out of year's work too. And you're going to see that's how everything works. Everything is just a repeat after the first 7 days. Because that's when Yah made everything. He made everything in 6 days. There wasn't nothing made after the sixth day. Nothing. Not 1 year was made after the sixth day. Not 1 month was made after the sixth. Everything was made within the confines of the sixth day. And then on the seventh day, he rested. And this is how the Almighty keep everything in order. Again, to show you what I mean, go to the book of Exodus 34. That's why all through the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon will say, there's nothing new under the sun. I'd be thinking, man, there's got to be something new under the sun. Or did they have automobiles at one point in time? Or did they have bazookas and machine guns? And did they have cell phones? Or did they have this? Because he said it ain't nothing new under the sun. Well, I understand what he means now, because really, Yah made everything in 6 days. So everything that you see today is just a repeat of something that already was. It might look different, might sound different, but all it is a repeat of what was already done. There's nothing new. In Exodus 34, watch what it says. Twenty-first verse, 6 days thou shalt work, but on the seventh day thou shalt rest, in earing time and in harvest thou shalt rest. And watch this, 22nd verse, and thou shalt observe the feast of weeks of the first fruit of wheat harvest, and the feast of ingathering at the year's end. And what is the year's end? A lot of people don't know what the year's end is because they don't know what the feast of ingathering is. Well, let me tell you what the feast of ingathering is. The feast of ingathering is the feast of tabernacles. And when is that? Well, you're going to see that the feast of ingathering is the seventh month. Now, why is that the year's end? Did not I tell you, it's only seven different days, it's only seven different years. Really, it's only seven different months. I know you got 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 after the seventh month. But really, 8 just 1, 9 just 2, 10 just 3, 11 just 4. And I'm going to show you that. That's how Yah see it. That's how he ordered it. But I'm going to help you to see that. And watch this. In the book of Leviticus, the 25th chapter. And this is something that we don't do. We do it here, but most of our people don't do it. Although this is what we're supposed to do, this is how we number our years. See, to get to the Sabbath day, we have to go through 6 days, then we come to the Sabbath day. And we do that every week. But our years, little do people know, every year we're supposed to number, then when we get to the 7th year, we're supposed to rest. Or the land is supposed to rest. Then we start that process all over again. But the Sabbath of the land is a set particular time. It's not no random time. Just like the Sabbath day is no random time. It's the 7th day. Well, the Sabbath year is the 7th year. It's not no random 7th year where the 7th year will end up on this day and that day. And that. No, it is a fixed time over the course of 7 years. Watch what this says in the book of Leviticus 25, starting at the 3rd verse. Well, we'll start at the 1st verse. And Yah spake unto Moshe in Mount Sinai, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye come into the land which I give you, then ye shall, and then shall the land keep a Sabbath unto Yah. Why? Because the land was holy. Because the fruit was holy. So the land had to rest. Now, if we apply our hearts to wisdom, and most farmers know this, they know this is something they should be doing today, no matter what. Why? Because they know the land at some point in time will be depleted if they just keep going and going and going. And as they have been doing, the land is depleted. 3rd verse. 6 years thou shalt sow thy field. 6 years thou shalt prune thy vineyard and gather in the fruit thereof. But in the 7th year shall be a Sabbath of rest unto the land. A Sabbath for Yah. Thou shalt neither sow thy field nor prune thy vineyard. That which groweth of his own accord of thy harvest thou shalt not reap, neither the grapes of thy vine undressed, for it is a year rest unto the land. And the Sabbath of the land shall be food for you, for thee, for thy servant, for thy maid, for thy hired servant, for the stranger that sojourneth with thee, and for thy cattle and for thy beasts that are in the land, shall all the increase thereof be meat. Now watch this 8th verse, because this is how we count. And thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years unto thee. 7 times 7 years. In other words, we had this is how we count it. 1 Sabbath of years, because when we said 1 Sabbath of years, that meant 7 years. 2 Sabbaths of years, 3 Sabbaths of years, 4 Sabbaths of years, 5 Sabbaths of years, 6 Sabbaths of years, and then we get to the 7th. 7 Sabbaths of years, and in a space of 7 Sabbaths of years, shall be unto thee 49 years. Then thou shalt call the trumpet of Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month. In the Day of Atonement shall ye make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. And ye shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a Jubilee unto you, and ye shall return every man unto his possession. And ye shall return every man unto his family. And this was vitally important. Why? Because not only the land was to rest in a 7th year, as you're about to see, other things had to happen in a 7th year. So you had to know how to number your days and number your years and number your months. All these things was just vitally important. Because how can you execute these things and not and do the law? You got to learn how to execute this. Look what else happened in the 7th year. In the book of Deuteronomy, the 15th chapter. And 1 Sabbath a year, 7 years. And then after that first Sabbath of years, you started all over. Then you had two Sabbaths of years. Then you started all over. Just like when you had the first week, then you start all over. Then you had the second week, then you start all over. Then you had the third week. The years was the same. Why? Because the seventh is the Sabbath. And that's not going to change because it's a month or a year or a day. Watch this in the book of Deuteronomy, the 15th chapter. In the book of Deuteronomy 15, the very first verse. Again, this is why the scripture says, seek ye out of the book of Yah and read. No one of these shall fail. None shall want her mate. For his mouth had commanded and his spirit had gathered these various books, because it's going to teach you how to number your days, that you may apply your heart unto wisdom. At the end, the very first verse, at the end of every 7 years, thou shalt make a release. And what are you releasing? And this is the manner of the release. Every creditor that lendeth out unto his neighbor shall release it. He shall not exact it of his neighbor or of his brothers, because it is Yah's release. Just like the 7 years, Yah's Sabbath day, that when the land is to rest, he said, this is a Sabbath unto Yah. On the Sabbath day, he said, this is a Sabbath unto Yah. And then the 7 year, he said, this is Yah's release, because Yah attached his name to this. And so when the 7 years coming, people wanted to know, they had to know expectations. They knew exactly when the 7 year was coming. They knew. Because they knew how to number their days. They were able to apply themselves to wisdom. Watch this. In the same chapter, Deuteronomy 15, the 12th verse. And watch what it says. And if thy brother, a Hebrew man or a Hebrew woman, be sold unto thee and serve thee 6 years, then in the seventh year thou shalt let him go free from thee. And when thou sendest him out free from thee, thou shalt not let him go away empty. Thou shalt furnish him liberally out of thy flock and out of thy floor, and out of thy wine press, of that wherewith Yah the Elohim have blessed thee, thou shalt give unto him. And thou shalt remember that thou was a bondman in the land of Egypt, and Yah the Elohim redeemed thee. Therefore I command thee this thing today. So this is, and watch the 18th verse. It shall not seem hard unto thee when thou sendest him away free from thee. For he hath been worth a double hire servant to thee in serving thee 6 years. And Yada Elohim shall bless thee in all that thou doest. Because these were set times, because they had purpose. That's what the word season means. The word season means set appointed time. It's like you're going to the doctor. And if you just walk in a doctor's office, I want to see the doc. All right, the first thing they're going to ask, do you got an appointment? No, but I need to see the doc. Well, you got an appointment. You got to have an appointment to see the doc. You just can't walk in here. Well, I still need to see the doc. Well, okay, come back at 2 o'clock. In other words, now they got to set you up an appointment or something, because you got to have an appointment. And these things were already set and appointed by the Most High. And we just have to learn their time. But going back to Deuteronomy 15 and 1, one thing I forgot to emphasize It says again in Deuteronomy 15:1, at the end of every 7 years, thou shalt make a release. Well, when is the end of every 7 years? Well, you're going to see the end of every 7 years is the 7th month. That's the end of every 7 years. Why? Because the 7th represents the end. It represents what's complete. It represents what's been blessed and sanctified. And it represents rest. This is why all those things take place in that year, as well as that month, as well as that day. Furthermore, to show you this, look in the book of Deuteronomy, the 31st chapter. Deuteronomy 31. Showing you how Yah ordered things. And they're in 7. I know it got 10 commandments, but little do people know the 8th commandment, the 9th commandment, the 10th commandment. Study those real good, and you're going to see that the last 3 commandments have everything to do with the first 3 commandments. And I'll show you that. But in Deuteronomy 31, this is what it says in the 9th verse. And Moshe wrote this law and delivered it unto the priests, the sons of Levi, which bear the ark of the covenant of Yah, and unto all the elders of Israel. And Moshe commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, in a solemnity of the year of release. And when is the year of release? Well, it's in the 7th year. But then he get more specific about the appointment time and the place. In the Feast of Tabernacles. Well, the year release is in the 7th year. But now they being more specific. In the Feast of Tabernacles. You're supposed to read this law. When all Israel is to come to appear before Yah thy Elohim in a place which he shall choose, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing. A lot of people say, well, I thought we read the law anyway before all Israel. Yeah, but not together. This is where they had to show up at one place, at one time, all together, all 12 tribes, to hear the law. And where is that? In the place that he chose. And where is that? Jerusalem. When is that? In the 7th year. When in the 7th year? In the Feast of Tabernacles. When is that? In the 7th month, on the 15th day of the 7th month. Don't you see how exact Yah is with his set times? And there's only 7 different ones. Because Yah don't want you confused anyway. Why do you think the word Shabbat, Shabbat, which is the number 7, why do you think it means complete? You think it means complete and then it don't be complete? No, it is complete. This is why all these things must take place. Now, I forgot to emphasize one more thing in the book of Leviticus 25. Turn back there. Leviticus 25. Just to show you this. Since the Creator told us to number 7 Sabbaths of years, and then guess what? After you number 7 Sabbaths of years, you know what you do after that? Well, you start all over again. 1 Sabbath of years, 2 Sabbaths of years, 3 Sabbaths of year, four, and then you get right back to seven Sabbath years, 49 years, and then you're back at the Jubilee, the 50th year. And let me tell you what you do after that. You start at the beginning, because there's nothing after that to do, because there's only seven different things to do. Leviticus 25, watch what it says. We read this, but I didn't emphasize it. 8th and 9th verse. This is what it says. And thou shalt number seven Sabbaths of years unto thee, seven times 7 years, and in the space of seven Sabbaths of years shall be unto thee 49 years. And thou shalt cause the trumpet of Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month. In the Day of Atonement shall ye make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. So in other words, in the 49th year, this is the only time this is done. Well, the 49th year is the 7th year. That's why I told you all these numbers are the same. 49 is 7. 7 is 49. 7 is 14, 21, 28, 35, 42, or, yeah, 42, and 49. They all the same. They all are the 7th year. They all the 7th year. That's, they all represent the same thing. But in the 7th year, in this 49th year, that's when we blow the horn of Jubilee. On the Day of Atonement. And once we blow that horn, then when it goes into the 50th year, our people, they're free. Or they return back to their land. So they go home in that 50th year. And they don't have to worry about working for nobody because they're free. They're set free after that horn is blown. They're free. Because there's only 7 different orders, period. All through the scriptures. Why do you think we only dealt with 7 everlasting covenants? Sure, it's more covenants than that. But the Almighty only gave Israel 7 everlasting covenants. He gave them 7 holy days in which we're going to be going over these holy days. And let me show you something about, and we already read where he said, 6 days shall you do all your labor and work, and the 7th day you rest. 6 years shall you sow your land and prune your vineyard, but in the 7th year you're to rest. We read at the end of the year in the Feast of Tabernacles, at the end of the year, on the Day of Atonement, at the end of the year, in other words, in the Feast of Ingathering, which is all the 7th month. Now, watch what the Creator said about the generations, going back to the book of Genesis. And this is why we begin to do things in 7. Now, consider this. We're in Genesis. The 2nd chapter. But think about this. In the book of Genesis, the 1st chapter, there's only 31 verses. Why? Who came up with that? Who thought, yeah, I'm going to just have 31 in Genesis, the 1st chapter. In Genesis, the 2nd chapter, I'm just going to have, stop that at 23. Who came up with that? You think King James came up with that? Do you think the way they set the printing shops, that's how this was done? No, this is the order of the Most High. You know that to be true. Look at Genesis, the 2nd chapter. Now, if it was up to us, will we be talking about the 7 day in the first chapter, or will we be talking about it in the second chapter? It's just a few additional verses. It seems as though you would be talking about the Sabbath day in the first chapter. Why? Because 6 days he made everything, then the 7 day he rested. So I don't understand why it's in the second chapter. Well, I actually do understand why it's in the second chapter. Because the Sabbath day represents Yah's name. It is the only day that Yah gave us that represent his name. And what do two represent? Yah's name. No wonder it's in the second chapter. And look what it first says. In the second chapter of Genesis, the very first verse, thus the heavens and the earth were finished and all the hosts of them. Now it's talking about the heavens and the earth. In other words, that's when the heavens was made. And watch what it says. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished and all the hosts of them. And on the 7 day, Elohim ended his work which he had made. And he rested on the 7 day from all his work which he had made. And Elohim blessed the 7 day, sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which Elohim created and made. And watch what it says. These are the generations of the heaven and of the earth when they were created. In the day that Yah made the earth and the heavens. So these are the generations of the heaven and the earth. In other words, this is the first generation and this is the second generation. First generation is the heaven. If you just study the heavens by itself, you're going to learn wondrous things. Because that's the first generation. He just told us what he did with the heavens that he made first, the first generation of the heavens. But then once you go start studying the heavens, then you're really going to see all the things that Yah did. Because all the things he did is all throughout the book of Yah. The second generation's of his creation was the earth. And then you just study on the earth by itself, and you're going to see all the things Yahweh did in the earth. Now in the third and I may add, since the heavens is the first, which is real important, because even before there was a heavens and before there was an earth, the Almighty made light. And he wasn't going to say, well, this is the generation of the light. But the heavens did have generations because a lot of things took place. That's why when they talk about the heavens, they're talking about the heavens of heaven. Do you realize there's people that live in heaven? There's things that live there, so it has to have generations. And there's things that live in the earth, and it has generations. But the third generation that Yah talked about, first the heavens, second the earth, and watch this third generation in the book of Genesis 5. The very first verse, it says, this is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that Elohim created man, in the likeness of Elohim made he him. Male and female created him, ye them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. Because this is the third. The Almighty was not going to make the heaven and the earth and not have a representative on earth that can call upon him, as well as govern and rule the very thing he created in the earth. So quite naturally, now this is the generation of man, which is the third generation. But I love this fourth generation, because watch this fourth generation in the book of Genesis. The sixth chapter. The eighth and ninth verse. And watch what it says. This is the fourth generation. But Noah found grace in the eyes of Yah. And watch what it says. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with Elohim. No wonder Noah is the fourth generation. Here's a man that found grace in the eyes of the Almighty, a just man, a perfect man. And then in the very next chapter, watch what it says about him. In the seventh chapter, the very first verse, it says, "And Yah said unto Noah, come down all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation." And this man was righteous in this generation. In other words, the only way you can praise Yah is that you be holy and you be perfect. And you be righteous. And you be just. No wonder he was the fourth generation. Because he was able to praise Yah. Almighty had to destroy everybody else. Because man had corrupted themselves. And look who he started with. Noah. And his sons. And why? Because Noah found grace in his eyes. And he was just. And he was perfect. He walked with Elohim. And he was righteous. But the Creator had a fifth generation. And you'll find this fifth generation in the book of Genesis, the 10th chapter. And watch what it says. Now these are the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japhet. And unto them were sons born after the flood. So now, and what do the fifth represent? The fifth represents Yah's increase. Now here, the whole earth was being populated by three men and their wives. You won't read where Shem, Ham, and Japheth had a bunch of women. Only women went on the ark with them was them and their wife. That was it. And through them, they populated the whole earth. And this was Yah's increase. And the only way you can do that is if you're very blessed. And somebody was very blessed. And let me show you who that was, which is the sixth generation in the book of Genesis, the 11th chapter. In the book of Genesis, the 11th chapter, it says in the 10th verse, these are the generations of Shem. Shem was 100 years old and begot Arphaxad 2 years after the flood. And of course, it'll let you know not just this is the generation of Shem, so you can understand this whole thing. And I just want you to see the difference. In the 10th chapter, watch what it says. Go to the 10th chapter. I just want you to see this. In Genesis, the 10th chapter, the second verse, it says, the sons of Japheth, and then it's names his sons. And then the fifth verse, it says, by these were the eyes of the Gentiles divided in their lands, everyone after his tongue, after their families and their nations. Then it says, well, and the sons of Ham, Cush, Mizraim, Put, Canaan. In other words, it names the sons of Ham. And then when it get to the end, because Ham had a lot of sons, in the 20th verse it says, these are the sons of Ham after their families, after their tongues, in their countries, and in their nations. Because this is what it says about Ham. But then, when you get to the 11th chapter, these are the only sons that's numbered. Now, remember what we said at the beginning, that teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. Ham's sons is never numbered. Japheth's sons are never numbered. But then, as soon as you get to the sons of Shem, this is what it says in the 10th verse of the 11th chapter. These are the generations of Shem. It doesn't ever say these are the generations of Ham or the generations of Japheth. It's only going to say this about Shem, and I'm going to show you why. Shem was 100 years old and begot Arphaxad 2 years after the flood. And Shem lived after he begot Arphaxad 500 years and begot sons and daughters. And Arphaxad lived 530 years and begot Salah. In other words, you're going to see all kind of numbers. When they died, when they was born, when they lived, how long they lived. You're going to see all this. Why? Because once you know time, you know purpose. And what the Almighty wanted us to know from this holy line is time and purpose. This is what he was teaching us different than everybody else. So you are not going to see when the sons of Ham was born, nor will you see when they died. But you will see it with the sons of Shem. And let me show you why. The reason why, you're going to find in the book of Genesis, the 9th chapter. This is why you're going to see when they were born and when they died. How long they lived, you're going to see all kind of numbers with them. Genesis, the 9th chapter. But watch what the Almighty do with Shem. That's different than everybody else. The 25th verse. Genesis 9 and 25. And he said, cursed be Canaan. A servant of servants shall he be unto his brother. And he said, blessed be Yah Elohim of Shem. And Canaan shall be his servant. Elohim shall enlarge Japheth. And he shall dwell in the tents of Shem. And Canaan shall be his servant. In other words, you will never read where he's called the Elohim of Ham or the Elohim of Japheth. But blessed be Yah, the Elohim of Shem. And whose line do you think we come from? Well, Shem. Whose line do you think Job come from? Shem. Whose line do you think Daniel come from? Shem. And who you think the father of Shem is? Noah. And that's who the Almighty carried this righteousness through, that we might apply our hearts unto wisdom. So teach us to number our days. And that's why you know when they were born, and you know when they died, and you know how old they were. All through the scriptures, you're going to see time and purpose when it comes to our people. But let me show you the last generation as we get ready to close out. The last generation since Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And Shem was very blessed because he was the sixth generation. But the seventh generation is in Genesis, the 11th chapter. And this is what it says, the 27th verse. Now, these are the generations of Terah. Terah begot who? Abram. Now, do you see why Abram was so set apart? Because what do the word seven mean? It means set apart. Do you know this is the first man that the Almighty called a prophet? Why? Because he was set apart. This was the first man, according to the scriptures, had a vision and a dream that Yah would come to him in. This is the first man where the scriptures say the word of Yah came unto him saying. This is the first man in the scriptures where the scriptures made a covenant with a man and his descendants after him forever. The covenant with Noah, he made with beasts, the fowl. He made that with everybody. But this is the only man that the Almighty made a covenant with that it would go through his whole nation of people. Everybody, not just a tribe, not just an individual, but the whole nation. And lastly, this is the only man in the scriptures where the scripture said that he will be a blessing. Bless those that bless him and curse those that curse him. And in all the families of the earth shall be blessed in him. And you'll read that in Genesis, the 12th chapter, the second verse. Or second and third verse. And this is what it says. And I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And I may add, out of all the men in the scriptures, this is the only man the scripture says, look unto the rock from whence you were hewn. All those that follow after righteousness, all those that seek Yah, look unto Abraham, thy father, and Sarah, who bore you. This is the family. This is the parents. This is the individual that the Almighty told us to look to. No wonder this is the seventh generation. And everything else is just a repeat. And we're going to get into more details about these, not only generations, but these years, these months, these days, and all the other things that the Most High said he had to make the crooked things straight. He had to put light before darkness. And he's going to bring us by a way that we had not known. And until next week, Yah love you. And so do I. Shalom.
There was nobody before him, and there was nobody after him. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Can I get a hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Let everybody know that. Know that.
Exodus 31, 12 through 17. This is how you get down with the Israelite team. Praising Yahweh, your Elohim, on his holy temple case and day. Thou shalt not do any work.
Nah.
And if you're picking up stickers, then you will get hit. This is what you do after you roam in your home. Don't go out doing that work, you get